from Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a series devoted to the life and ministry of one of the greatest figures in the history of the Christian Church, the Apostle Paul. In the course of these studies, we'll see how God took a fanatical enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ and transformed him into the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, apart from Christ himself. This initial message is called, A Young Man Whose Name Was Saul. Dr. Cairns will show the early development of this brilliant young Pharisee, whose natural gifts and intellectual achievements placed him among the greatest minds of the ancient world. In unfolding the early days of Paul, Dr. Cairns will draw telling parallels between that gifted young man and so many young people who have had similar spiritual privileges, but who, like Paul, spurned them for the pleasures of sin. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of this study. First, please give attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Honor God. The text is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor. Do I make the honor of God the great object of my life and the rule of my conduct? If so, He will honor me. I may for a while receive no honor from man, but God will Himself put honor upon me in the most effectual manner. In the end, it will be found the surest way to honor, to be willing to be put to shame for conscience' sake. Eli had not honored the Lord by ruling his household well, and his sons had not honored the Lord by behavior worthy of their sacred office, and therefore the Lord did not honor them, but took the high priesthood out of their family, and made young Samuel to be ruler in the land instead of any of their line. If I would have my family ennobled, I must honor the Lord in all things. God may allow the wicked to win worldly honors, but the dignity which He Himself gives, even glory, honor, and immortality, He reserves for those who by holy obedience take care to honor Him. What can I do this day to honor the Lord? I will promote His glory by my spoken testimony and by my practical obedience. I will also honor Him with my substance and by offering to Him some special service. Let me sit down and think how I can honor Him, since He will honor me. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. This and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Alan Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
few verses in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts, chapter 22, reading the first five verses of the chapter, and then picking up at the end of Acts chapter 7, just a couple of verses there, 57 and 58. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, and then Acts chapter 7, verses 57 and 58. In Acts 22, the Apostle Paul is the speaker, speaking to the leaders of the Jews, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." And in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, following Stephen's great sermon to the Jewish leaders, we read, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these few verses from his word. Tonight I will want us to think particularly upon just a phrase in the last verse that we read. A young man whose name was Saul. As Thomas Gray, the 18th century English poet, contemplated his village churchyard and examined the graves of the long-forgotten fathers of that hamlet, he pondered the apparent purposelessness of their lives. He wrote, "Let not ambition mock their useful toil, their homely joys, and destiny obscure." Destiny obscure. That phrase caught my attention. I thought in many ways it sums up the lives of the vast millions of this world. It's difficult to tell why they were born, what they have ever accomplished, other than propagating their race. Destiny obscure. But while that may be true of the drudging millions, it's far from true of those special instruments of providence who seem to have destiny stamped upon them right from the very beginning of their existence. And of course, it's equally inappropriate for any true Christian, because the purpose of a Christian is of the very highest rank in this life. It's a purpose of usefulness to God, followed by glory for all eternity. The Apostle Paul was a man of destiny in both those senses. He became a Christian to live for the glory of God. But in addition, he was very evidently a man upon whom the Lord had placed his hand. A man set apart, prepared by the special purpose of God to do a work that would shape the destiny. It's not too much to say this. Shape the destiny of the world. The words that have become quite famous in American, modern American history, the words of some Americans as they tried to describe the purpose and mission of the United States on this North American continent, were certainly true of Paul, and he was superlatively a man of manifest destiny. No one has ever made a deeper, wider, or more lasting mark on the life and the development of the world than the Apostle Paul. He was conscious of being God's chosen instrument to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He believed that God had placed his hand upon him right from his mother's womb, intending to do a great work in him and then a great work through him. And the apostle had that singular privilege, which very few people really live to have. He had the privilege of reaching his goal and the joy of seeing in his own lifetime much of his destiny fulfilled. By the time he died, he had planted the gospel among the Gentiles, thereby lifting Christianity forever beyond the level of a mere Judaic sect. He had firmly rooted Christian theology in the all-sufficiency of the righteousness of Christ, thereby rescuing it from a very grave danger that it faced in its infancy. And that was the danger of relapsing into Judaistic legalism. And of course, he had penned the epistles that formed the backbone of the canon of the New Testament Scriptures, thereby forming the theology and the thinking of churches and of peoples for the rest of time. This was God's purpose in calling him, and he gloriously fulfilled it in him. It all began in the city of Tarsus, where a pious Jewish couple of the tribe of Benjamin had a son, and nothing outstanding for Benjamites, they named him Saul. Though they were Jewish tent makers living in the midst of the paganism of Cilicia, they were also Roman citizens. Scholars have long debated how they came to have that honor. And the truth is, no one knows. It is possible, as one scholar suggested, that as tent makers, they had rendered some notable service to some important Roman general. Certainly, the services of a good tent maker were always welcome to an army on the march. But at any rate, whatever the reason, they were Roman citizens. So that young Saul was born with the great social and political advantage of citizenship. His Roman name was Paulus, though he continued by preference to use his Jewish name Saul. It would appear that Hebrew was his mother tongue. It's interesting that when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road, he spoke Hebrew to him. Dr. Barrett would no doubt appreciate that. But as a man of Tarsus, he was undoubtedly a master of quite a few languages, and undoubtedly he spoke Greek and Latin. You see, Tarsus was a university city, renowned for its schools of higher learning. Paul said it was no mean city. And that was an apt description because it ranked in those days right alongside Athens and Alexandria as a great center of learning. How much Saul of Tarsus ever learned in the schools of Tarsus is a matter of conjecture. A very famous English scholar and linguist had the opinion that Paul had learned a lot, had gone to school in the secular system in Tarsus. Others have been equally vehement that he didn't. So it's a matter of conjecture. What is beyond dispute, however, is that his father taught him the trade of a tent maker and began the long, strict training that would ultimately lead him to Jerusalem to become a leading Pharisee and a doctor of the Mosaic law. Saul probably went to Jerusalem in his mid-teens. He himself tells us that he was a youth when he went up to Jerusalem to study at the feet of the renowned Jewish teacher Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were divided into two main groups. And Gamaliel was a leader of the school of Hillel among the Pharisees. He was a man of enormous scholarship and unusual breadth of opinion and view for a Pharisee. You remember in the book of Acts, it was Gamaliel who counseled the Sanhedrin against persecuting the followers of the Lord Jesus. We read in Acts 5, 38 and 9, his words, he said, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Let that sink in. This is a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. He's speaking of the cause of Jesus Christ, and he is holding out to the rest of the people in the Sanhedrin the very real possibility that this work which they have abominated is really the very work of God. So he was broad-minded enough to want to look further at the matter and therefore be tolerant toward the preachers of the gospel. Saul of Tarsus learned a lot from Gamaliel, but evidently he picked up nothing whatsoever of Gamaliel's tolerance toward the sect of the Nazarenes.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.